Good morning. This is Rob Southgate from Southgate Media Group, and you are listening to Too Much Scrolling. I will see you in the future.
Good morning! Welcome to Too Much Scrolling for October 29th, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Ghoulish Chip Hasselflow.
Yes, you are. Is it funny laugh? Should I do the funny laugh? We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. And if you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Yes, this week, it's our favorite week of the year, my favorite holiday of the year. It's Halloween week, Chip.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. That's right. Uncle Deadly.
I love it. I love this time of the year. I love this weather. I love the fact that all the trees.
That rain is so much fun. And the snow that we're expecting. Tell me more about your love.
The trees had all of their leaves one day. And then the next day, none of the trees had their leaves. They're all sitting on the grass all in my entire neighborhood.
Basically a patchwork quilt of leaves,
it's
Steve.
Beautiful. The colors come out and then they fall to the ground. And then they become work.
They do become work. And you can put them in piles and then throw your kids at them.
Or the dog. Our dog loves playing in piles of leaves. We could throw a pile of leaves into the air and the dog will go after them like a monster. It's all fantastic.
Right. I just saw a cartoon and it was of a snow globe. And instead of snow, it had leaves in it.
Nice.
And there's a nice big pile of it. And there's the hand coming right to shake up the leaves.
Nice. I love it. I love Halloween. I love the spooky idea of knowing what's happening and not knowing what's happening. And the
death,
spooky
Steve.
Movies.
There's death everywhere.
When you walked in, my wife was watching Hocus Pocus. And I was like, those are the kinds of movies that make you think about all of it.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. Speaking of that time of year, we have a new season of Castle Rock available on Hulu this week.
And so if you have that streaming service, is it like $5 a month?
It's more like $6, but yeah, that's still a perfectly reasonable amount of money.
$11.99 without commercials.
Oh, I absolutely pay for no commercials on my Hulu service, that's for sure.
And we have reviewed many of their original works in the past. So 1963 was one.
11/22/63.
That's right.
Yeah.
Based on the Stephen King novel.
Uh-huh.
And then last year we had Castle Rock Season 1, which is inspired by Stephen King.
Correct. This is a town in Maine called Castle Rock, which has been used in many Stephen King novels, and this is the congregation of all of those different characters into one spot so that they interact with each other in a way that Stephen King never actually wrote.
Okay, and Stephen King is part of the production of this, even though it was originally conceived just basically using his world.
That's right. Sam Shaw and Dustin Thompson are the creators of this.
Okay.
And they brought it to Stephen King and they said, can we do this? Is this good? Can we get your blessing? He said, not only can I give you my blessing, here's some money. I'm going to be an executive producer.
Well, how lovely is that?
That's wonderful.
And so season one dealt with a little bit of touches of It,
uh-huh.
touches of The Shining.
Uh-huh.
Anything else that I'm missing?
There were several other touches that were happening in there. There was a little bit of Needful Things in there. There was a little tiny hint of Cujo in there, but nothing over the head, nothing huge, nothing fan servicey in season one. It was its own story.
So if you enjoy Stephen King's works and you have a knowledge of Stephen King's works, there are plenty of Easter eggs for you throughout there. But for everyone else, we can kind of enjoy the stories.
Because it is a really well-written story on top of that framework of the Stephen King characterizations.
Which brings us to season two, Steve.
Which is more of the same.
It's just a cock-a-doodle-doo story.
Yes! Yes!
It's full of misery.
This is Annie Wilkes, the main character of Misery, and this is a prequel. This is before the activities of Misery, and she...
No hobbling in this one.
Not yet, but there might be soon.
We never know.
Well, here's the thing. They have released 3 episodes of this. There are 3 hours of season 2 available right now on Hulu. You have seen the first hour.
I have.
And I have seen all 3 of the first hours. So I'm going to try not to spoil you on anything, and I'm going to try not to spoil anybody else on the first hour either.
So if you want to know sort of how this kind of fits into how you want to watch something. So if you enjoy Stranger Things and may enjoy like a little bit above that, yeah, not. I mean, still, this would be, if we had a station and we were running Stranger Things, this would be a great follow-up.
This is very similar in tone to Stranger Things. A little bit of that nostalgia factor, because you are recognizing these characters that you have seen before and that tone from Stephen King that you felt before.
And so far, we've definitely touched on the book Misery.
Correct.
Any other works that we should go ahead and mention, Steve?
I don't know if I should, but there's...
You got to get busy living or get busy dying, Steve.
Shawshank Redemption is certainly a part of this conversation. The Shawshank Prison is certainly a character in the first season, a big character in the first season. Mm-hmm. And it plays a factor in season 2 as well. But Tim Robbins, who was one of the actors in the movie version of the Shawshank Redemption...
He was an account, Steve.
He is one of the actors who's playing a pretty well-known character in this one as well.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Not the same character. Not the same character. This isn't the same actor, not the same character.
It's a doppelganger, Steve.
I don't wish that this is a doppelganger situation, because we kind of had that in season 1. Those of you who went through season 1, there was kind of a who is he and is he him or is he him situation going on in season 1. I hope we're not going to see the same thing in season 2, but there's some interesting things happening in season 2.
And also some other books that, if you had knowledge of them, that are playing in there that you could... Like I said, they kind of touch enough on.
Uh-huh. The one that I think I'm going to have to revisit is Salem's Lot. Mm. Stephen King's second novel, which is a vampire tale, is definitely represented in this story. I don't know if in the first hour, did they go to Jerusalem's Lot?
Well, we definitely got... Well, they had a picture of it on... Okay. The development of it.
Okay.
And I think what they did so well, in fact, they have this Carly Simon song from the 80s. This is such an Annie Wilkes song. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is just so sweetly adult contemporary of its time, and so sort of out of touch at the same time.
Uh-huh.
They certainly just, this is such a well-produced.
And let's get to that scene real quick. That scene is a really good storytelling scene where we see 16 years of Annie Wilkes on the run. Something happened, which we're not still sure about what happened, and then she got in the car and drove with her daughter for 16 years before she reached Castle Rock.
And it looks like she's not going to leave, Steve.
She's kind of embedded in Castle Rock now.
Once you leave. I mean, once you get there, you, it's hard to leave, Steve.
unless you leave in a box.
But as we learned
in Castle Rock,
It Part 2, just last month, once you leave, you kind of forget what's going on.
That certainly plays into it when we're talking about Derry instead of Castle Rock.
Sure.
Yeah, and Derry is mentioned in this series. I don't want to give away a lot, so this conversation is a really not great conversation, but I do want to talk about the actors. The acting in this is spectacular. The storytelling is wonderful. The actress Lizzie Kaplan sounds and looks like a young Kathy Bates in this.
And she still has a problem with paper products, Steve.
There is a line about paper products. There is that those words that she uses as...
cock-a-doodle words, Steve.
Those
dirty birds.
Those substitute words that she will absolutely tell you what she means without using inappropriate language, because that's very important to her character. And boy, this actress is playing a psychotic person so well. The look in her eyes in this story, I completely believe that she is a psychotic person.
It's a magical time to like I guess, streaming services. Uh-huh. Because these are the best television programs out there.
I,
very good. I recommend you if this is of interest to you,
yeah,
go ahead and subscribe for a month or two. They give you 3 episodes up front. Then we have 7 more weeks, so you'd have to pay for 2 months.
2 months. Yeah. 2 months of commitment to this story. I'm in. I'm 100% in on Castle Rock. I've always loved Stephen King's writing. I love this honor that is being given to Stephen King's writing that's not his writing, but it sure has that same tone, that same feel of Stephen King. If you are in Stephen King world, this is the Stephen King world show for sure. You got a chance to see Jojo Rabbit, and you had to really had to find it because it is a very limited release.
Yeah, it's interesting that maybe it's going to be locally next week, because sometimes when we get beginning releases, you know, it may take a week or two, because Judy only played at the AMC's with the food service.
Okay.
For the first week, and then it was available in my theater. Jojo Rabbit was released 2 weeks ago, and I got to see it because I actually had a meeting downtown. And I said, oh, it's right around the corner. I'll go watch it. And there was a the Chicago movie celebration.
Festival.
Yeah, the film festival mm-hmm. was on. So I went to see it. I saw it with a virtually a full audience.
Okay.
And we were in, well, this is Taiki Waititi.
I'm sure that's exactly how you say it.
Absolutely. I totally butchered his name. Yeah. He's a New Zealander, Steve.
That's right.
And he's got a very New Zealand sense of humor.
Uh-huh.
And this is a story that you would say, well, this doesn't sound like it would be funny at all.
Right. This is the story of a young boy who has an imaginary friend, and that imaginary friend is the real, actual Adolf Hitler.
Well, he's not. He's an imaginary friend, Steve.
But he's an imaginary friend that looks like Adolf Hitler.
This stars Taiki Waititi uh-huh. as Hitler,
uh-huh.
As Adolf. This stars Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
And Guy from Galaxy Quest, Steve. He's also there.
Sam Rockwell. Yes.
Oh, yes. He's there.
Yes.
And then also these two children. And this is a children's story, interestingly enough. It's written about... so think of it. World War II is on. It's currently being fought. And the end of the movie is the end of the war, basically, virtually. And so we've got a little boy who has been sort of brainwashed into all the stories about Jewish people mm-hmm. and about the master race and how they are...
that propaganda.
It's basically he's part of like a scouting group that, okay. that's giving this type of propaganda. And as you can imagine, from an outsider looking at that, you're kind of shocked, like, oh my goodness. But, you know, somehow they had built to this system. And we've got Scarlett Johansson's character, who is the mom of this boy. She's shocked because we find out she's a resistance fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways she is a resistance fighter, she's hiding a Jewish girl up in an attic during this time. So not Anne Frank, but another one.
Very similar situation.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So we get an interaction from this little boy who finds this girl in the attic. And him questioning, ultimately, what do you think is going to happen? He's got these this propaganda has been given to him. She is a scared girl who doesn't want to get into trouble, doesn't want to be found.
Right.
The family's in a position where if she's discovered, well, they're going to be persecuted too.
Right.
So they're in an impasse right here.
Mm-hmm.
And she's stronger than he is. And so they have a lot of dialogue between each other where they're going to discover... a little bit about humanity is really what it comes down to, with Adolf Hitler coming in to give the humor to the boy along the way. This is an incredibly funny film. It's got Rebel Wilson in it, too, I forgot to mention.
Yeah.
I think the whole audience loved it. You certainly are going to laugh, and you're going to have a few tears. I would say 75 out of 100. This is a pretty good film. And maybe one of the better films I've seen this year.
Hopefully it'll open a little wider. I am interested in this. All the clips that we've seen on YouTube, this is a fun adventure in the middle of this horrific situation, this war happening.
And, you know, once again, why would someone hate another person for mm-hmm. just being a person?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's a nice exploration.
Very... New Zealander in their tone.
Oh, yes. That type of humor.
You can tell who wrote this one. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
You also got a chance to see the first episode of The Watchmen. This is on HBO. It's the series version of that story that we had from a graphic novel. long time ago, right?
86, 1986, wow. Steve.
That was a long time ago.
It was. So this is not a continuation of the movie. This was a continuation of the graphic novel. And the graphic novel ends where the Cold War has ended. We have this kind of squiddish character from another world entering our world, I guess, at the time. And all of a sudden, humanity unites against this outside threat.
Okay.
And obviously, it ends with sort of this question of, like, was this the right thing to do or not? But we are not in that story. We are after that story. And the world is much different. The United States now has a lot more states. Vietnam is part of the United States right now.
Okay.
And so what we're doing is we're exploring this world. So if we remember from the graphic novel, vigilantes were outlawed. Well, the police now, because one of the police officers was hunted down, they found out who they were, they found out where they lived. They are now masked people.
Hmm.
They kind of hide themselves. And John Johnson is sort of, looks like kind of a corrupt guy. He's kind of running the police department at this time. And there's covert people running around who are, you know, are they vigilantes? Or, you know, they're working with the police department. And there's potentially like a race-based, maybe kind of a clannish or you know, a resistance group going on too. So we're going to have this story unfold in front of us. They certainly have a wonderful homage to the story. One of the scenes stops. They have to stop and clean off the windshield. There's these squids falling from the sky. And it's just like, well, this is part of the world now. So I think this will not be as popular as Game of Thrones. This is very good.
Okay.
And we'll see what ends up happening. Much like the Castle Rock, if you've got access to HBO, this is worthy of your time. I think this is a good example of a genre. If it finds its audience, they'll enjoy this.
Interesting. Very interesting to take Alan Moore's writing and make it into a series, but not be Alan Moore's writing, because he has said this is not his writing.
Yeah, and the producers and the writers of this have basically dismissed Alan Moore for this. Alan Moore's story is a self-contained story.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just kind of revisiting the world and having someone tell another story.
Interesting. I look forward to seeing what comes of that.
Steve, it's a scary time of year, which means we kind of revisit some of the things we've seen before.
I always watch.
Tell us more about that.
It must be Halloween week, because Steve has watched his Halloween favorites this week. I said my wife was upstairs watching Hocus Pocus this week. That's one of her Halloween favorites. My Halloween favorites this week, I, of course, watched Army of Darkness, the Ash versus Deadites third movie in the Evil Dead series. I, of course, watched Young Frankenstein, which makes
Frankenstein,
me laugh
Steve.
Every time.
Frankenstein.
Every time. I will laugh at that movie
when
every
you're
time.
Blue.
And of course, my annual viewing of Rocky Horror Picture Show, of course, took place this week. I can't get away from those. Those are my three go-to, it's Halloween time, let's watch something. Kind of like a Christmas Story. Some people watch A Christmas Story every year at Christmas. These are my go-tos for Halloween. Happy Halloween, everyone. Opening this week, we've got some movies. The first one is the next Terminator, Terminator Dark Fate.
I remember what James Cameron said after this came out. He goes, "I'll be back." Because he's now producing this one.
Okay, but Linda Hamilton actually gets to say that line in this movie.
Well, how wonderful, Steve. We've got another Terminator film, and Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be there, too.
Uh-huh. Along with Linda Hamilton and Edward Furlong.
Will they have the strudel?
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Probably have a strudel.
Who knows if this is going to be good or not, but
I
you know what?
So.
They spent some time on it.
No Matt Smith in this one that I'm aware of, but maybe they'll sneak in a Matt Smith.
It's an alternative future, past, current time. You never know, Steve.
Yeah, it's our old future. There is a movie about the story of the life of Harriet Tubman coming out. This one's just simply called Harriet. This looks good.
This is looks very interesting. If I was going to a movie this week, this would be one of the ones I would consider. But we've got like four movies I would go see.
Yeah.
And this one will be released, I think, now, so it can be ready for streaming in February.
And my biggest hope is that this is a good historical document that we can use in school to teach about the adventure, the life of Harriet Tubman, because it's a great story. Hopefully this is a good representation of that great story. You've got on Netflix this week, The Irishman. This is Martin Scorsese directing, Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. It's a mob movie.
How interesting that they're choosing Netflix for this release, mm-hmm. because as we release the other ones, this one seems as strong or stronger than the other films that we're going to be talking about. We got three mob movies, yes. or have connections to the mob, Steve.
Right. This is the story of the mob and Jimmy Hoffa and the things that happened behind the scenes in that time.
You looking at me?
Am I a clown here for your amusement? The interesting thing is Joe Pesci has not been in a movie for nearly a decade, and they begged him and begged him and begged him to be in this movie. They asked him 40 times to be in this movie before he finally relented.
Did he get a pinky ring?
The trailer starts with a pinky ring.
It's excellent.
All about the pinky ring. This really does look good. I really do look forward to seeing this one. If you want to make a mob movie, those are the guys you get on your team. That's for sure. There is a story about a detective in Brooklyn. This one's called Motherless Brooklyn, written and directed by Edward Norton.
Yeah, and he's a gentleman who's got what, Tourette's?
Tourette's, yes.
Okay, so he's kind of struggling to find his place in the world. And, yeah, the mom's a very welcoming group. And it also stars that guy, Bruce Willis, Steve.
Yeah, Bruce Willis.
So there we go. You know Bruce is in this. So that's a good sign?
I think it is. At least it used to be Bruce Willis showed up.
This looks like a good film, though.
It really does. Willem Dafoe is in there along with Alec Baldwin. This is a good cast. I look forward to seeing the reviews of this. I think that we've got something here. There's something odd about this detective. Not unlike Sherlock Holmes, but he's got his quirk and he's going to solve the case.
Well, yeah, he's part of Fight Club.
We don't talk about Fight Club.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There's a movie called Inside Game. This is the true story of an NBA referee who was caught betting on games that he was the referee for.
Hey, it's got the Gambino family, Steve.
This is, again, a true story of what really happened in 2007.
And, you know, Pete Rose is not in the Hall of Fame because mm-hmm. he was caught gambling on his games, interestingly enough, too. Right. So if you are playing in a sporting event, you are not allowed to game. If you're refereeing, you're not allowed to gamble on those games.
Right.
And interestingly enough, this is a story about a referee who was caught gambling.
There's a lot of money there. Games. There's a lot of money and a lot of powerful people that will keep you from doing that. That's for sure.
Steve, we got an odd film that maybe has a Leatherman in it.
Yeah, this one's weird. It's called Cubby. It is the story about a 26-year-old man from the Midwest who moves to New York City and finds his place in the world, taking care of a little 6-year-old, and then
he's on meds, Steve.
Then suddenly he finds this leather clad character who might be a hallucination based on a psychedelic cupcake. This is a strange film.
This is a strange film and a very low budget film. So what can we say, Steve? It's going
to
be there.
There might be some great message to it. I don't know. I couldn't imagine Leatherman being a great message.
We got three mob films, and then we also have Harriet to go see, Steve.
That's right. Book it. Brings it to our book of the week. It is Halloween. It's time for scary stories around the campfire, and I got a chance to listen to the full cast audio drama of Camp Red Moon. This is presented by R.L. Stine, our old friend from the Goosebumps.
And you were able to read this or listen to this as part of Audible.
Yes, this is one of those free titles from Audible for October, so you might still have a moment to get it in the last few days of October here. I do recommend this one.
Well, this is certainly made for all ages, and R.L. Stine's, this is kind of a, they've got four different writers
who are telling stories. This is an anthology, like The Twilight Zone, short story format. Four different authors writing four different short stories around the same campfire.
And like a lot of Halloween, it's geared towards children. Mm-hmm. I would say third, fourth grade, maybe fifth grade kind of area for it, but certainly all families. Herbie the Love Bug type of family. Scooby-Doo, maybe a little step up.
If you were driving somewhere and you wanted to listen to something just a little spooky, this is a safe, spooky kind of story. There's nothing terribly scary about this. It's all about identity. It's all about discovering who you are. And that setting of summer camp is a really good place to think about who you are. You discover a lot about yourself when you're sent to summer camp.
So it's like in June, and it's where it takes place, and they're going on a camping trip, and at the end of the day, they all gather around the fire, Steve, as the camp counselor tells a spooky story.
And the first counselor up is R.L. Stine himself. He writes a story called Werewolf in the Woods. Again, all about finding out who you are, who your friends are. This is geared toward younger people thinking about all of these issues. This is a good story, but not my favorite of the four. My favorite of the four is the second one, The New Camper, by Dan Pawlocki. This is spooky on a Twilight Zone kind of level, where the idea of this new kid at camp who acts just a little bit weird, just a little bit off, and then he wants to be just like the other campers, and he takes over the persona of one of the campers.
What?
Yeah, this is so well written. I enjoyed this story to no end, especially the twist at the ending of this one. It is very Twilight Zone-y, but at the same time, it's certainly child-friendly. Again, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade.
Us for children.
Oh boy, it is kind of Us for Children, isn't it?
Whoa.
Wow. I really enjoyed this story. I look forward...
That's the movie Us.
The movie Us, as opposed to Us for Children, because Us for Children is just us on Halloween when we're handing out candy. Yes, the movie Us. I enjoyed this story immensely. I was really sucked into the story of the new camper. The Battle of the Bots by Justin Reynolds... definitely is made for children. I saw the story from beginning to end at the beginning of it. I was not very interested in this. It's about a group of kids who look at another group of kids and say, they kind of know all the right answers all the time, and they're kind of speaking kind of in a jaded way. Maybe they're robots. Guess what? At the end, they're robots.
Well, you gave it away, Steve.
I ruined the whole story. You could see it coming a mile away. The final story in the anthology is Ghost in the Cabin by Ellen O. This is a real ghost story. When you go to summer camp, when you're in those cabins, this is all strange to you. Everything's unusual. Every creak in the night is, you don't know what it is because you're out of your element.
Well, that's because there's ghosts out there, Steve.
This is the story of the ghosts that haunt a certain cabin on the campground. And how they got there. And the really kind of frightening idea of kids dying at summer camp and haunting the place afterwards.
If it wasn't for those meddling kids, Steve.
This is a good ghost story. I think of it as akin to Friday the 13th, the story of Jason drowned in the lake, and now he's come back to reap his revenge on those counselors.
Or maybe an Australian song, that's the old folk song that everybody sings.
What Australian folk song is that, Chip?
The one where the guy is at the Billy Bong, Steve. So Steve, obviously, he's been waltzing Matilda, you know, haunting the Billy Bong. Now that he stole the sheep, right?
What are you speaking Australian?
Totally Australian, Steve. This is a song.
Rule six. There is no rule six. What are you even talking about?
I know, it's just way out there, man.
Waltzing Matilda, the. The national, what do you say?
Well, I would say the folk song. It would be like the, This Land Is Your Land
Of Australia.
About the guy who steals the billabong. Anyway, he steals a sheep And then the police come, and then he kills himself, and then haunts the pond. Steve?
Yeah!
That seems like a great...
Like that!
It's like a song. Welcome to Halloween, Steve.
Well, happy Halloween, everyone. I hope that everybody's having a good time. If you want to get into a little bit of spooky storytelling, R.L. Stine is one of my favorite spooky storytellers. Camp Red Moon certainly goes to the heart of what he was writing. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. It is Halloween. It is time for reading.
Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh. All right. So Neil Gaiman, many, many years ago, helped promote something called All Hallows Read.
Yeah.
And a group of people, maybe not a national type thing, but, here and there, maybe a library, maybe a bookstore. You never know. Somebody has adopted All Hallows Read for the year, but certainly hasn't become national.
And the idea of All Hallows Read is to give away these stories and to read together these spooky stories in an effort to form community around
them. Like Audible did?
Like Audible does every month, giving away a spooky story in Halloween, an R.L. Stine kind of story. I like the idea, but yeah, this really hasn't caught fire the way that I would expect it to have done.
It's kind of here and there, hit and miss. Yeah. Although, on the website, it certainly didn't update, but on Neil Gaiman's Twitter feed, the posters were created, and you can download them if you'd like to.
There you go. We'll put links to those in our show notes, along with allhallowsread.com, which didn't get updated for this year, which is very strange. Very strange.
Well, read a scary book.
That's right. Coming up in 2, 3, 4 days, Apple TV Plus is coming to our streaming services this Friday, November 1st, finally.
So if you have an Apple TV...
Or a Roku.
Well, an Apple TV, you can find this. In fact, you could find this on your Apple computer, too.
Correct. The new update of the software, the Mac OS, has an Apple TV app that it has installed now.
And they've created apps that are available on other services. And you mentioned the Roku.
Roku is the big one.
So you can download the app and you can watch their content. This is a very interesting place for Apple to go. And the reason being is typically... companies want to be agnostic to the material that's going out there. If you put something out that's a little bit, imagine having a protest because something was
controversy.
Released. Yeah.
Some controversy, and then you are embroiled in it as the company that is the distributor of that content. This is an interesting question. Should Comcast and NBC be one company? The pipe and the producer. Is Apple the right company to be producing content?
And to give you kind of a reference for this, different but similar, Disney was exploring buying Twitter a number of years ago, and they did not wish to be caught up in all the controversies that Twitter.
Potentially.
Steve, I've heard there's been some controversies with people posting on Twitter. I don't know about that, but I heard there can be.
There certainly could be. Hopefully, this is going to go and this is going to be wonderful. I have high expectations for the morning show. That's the Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston and Steve Carell show. Mm-hmm. I enjoy all three of their work, and I think that show will be fun to watch on Friday.
He left Scranton, Pennsylvania, Steve, to start a
morning show. Yeah.
Well, he always wanted to be a performer.
Not anything like Evan Almighty, where he was a...
Well, he was a guy,
morning
Steve.
Show. He was a morning show in that one. Yeah. Dickinson, the story of Emily Dickinson, told in a modern view. I look forward to that one. And For All Mankind, this is the alternative history created by Ronald D. Moore, who you would remember from his time at Battlestar Galactica, that show that we really enjoyed.
With Lorne Michaels? No, I'm teasing. No, no, no. With number six.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She had a plan.
They had a plan,
no,
Steve.
No, they didn't. But hopefully All Mankind has a plan. This is an alternative history where the space race of the 1960s and 70s never ended, and now we live in a future where there's still people going to and from the moon. I look forward to For All Mankind. I hope that this is going to work out for Apple.
I hope so too.
I really do. The idea of having more content, I think, is better, but there's certainly a line where there's too many good things out there. We can't watch everything.
And that's the big challenge that we have. So if Watchmen's on HBO and we're looking at Castle Rock that's on Hulu, and then you have another show on Apple Plus, unless all that is easily available, you're all kind of searching around for it.
Right.
But, you know, on that same note, the alternative is scrolling through a television service with 300 channels trying to figure out what is
available.
Yeah,
that is the alternative. The other thing that's coming up is Disney Plus. That is starting on November 12th, and Verizon this week announced that their unlimited customers will be getting a free year of Disney Plus.
So if you're in an area that has Verizon as the internet service, Fios, or you have the cell phone service, you're going to have a year worth of Disney Plus available to you.
Yes.
That is Steve's Verizon customer.
Finally, as a Verizon customer, finally, they are giving me a streaming service that I'm actually interested in.
And they previously had the NFL that was available
right,
to you.
Which I
For many people, that was important.
That's not as valuable to me, but my son is certainly enjoying the Red Zone app.
Yeah.
Because Verizon sold us a year's worth of the Red Zone for $9.99. And so he's been enjoying that to no end. I look forward to Disney Plus for sure. The Mandalorian looks fantastic. Mm-hmm. The access to all of those Disney properties except Song of the South. You're not getting that one. But all of the other Disney properties are going to be there. I look forward to what else I'm going to get as a result of my cellular service.
And that seems to be a trend for a lot of these services. As you can see, T-Mobile offers Amazon Prime.
Yes, they do.
As part of their service. So that would be shipping and all the streaming content.
Mm-hmm.
Sprint offers Hulu, which I guess you could watch Castle Rock, Steve.
Yeah, Castle Rock is right there on your Sprint.
Now, I have AT&T, and I chose HBO, but you have some other things. You could choose Cinemax or Showtime, Stars,
VRV, Amazon Music Unlimited, or Pandora Premium.
So you have this ability to, you know, have these services. They're not add-ons. They're part of your bill.
Right. You're paying for them.
So if you've got your service and you're not using one of these add-ons, which means that you could log in through your Roku or your Apple TV or Fire Stick, however you want to do it.
Right.
You should. You should explore that.
Can you switch between those on the AT&T, or are you stuck to one for a length of time? Do you know?
I think you can switch them.
That's interesting.
I think you can switch them by one. You also, I get Watch AT&T, which basically is a television service. It's got like 30 channels. So if you think of HDTV, History
Network.
Channel.
Okay.
You know, some of those types of filler stations, they're available for no, you know, TBS and stuff, but there's no additional cost for them.
Okay.
So,
The landscape is changing. The cable landscape is changing. I don't know why anybody would pay $100 for cable right now.
I think there's a huge group of people that are still, they have their dishes that they're, you know, from AT&T or I'm sorry. Well, AT&T is DirecTV.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or from Dish Network. Or they're using their traditional traditional cable services.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't know that there's a different way to receive this content.
Right.
And then because it's unknown, it's very, you're kind of learning a new way of doing it. You're not flipping channels.
Right.
You're going to an app.
Different app.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then some of the services have apps like Apple TV that bring all those services together. So if you watched, let's just say you watched Castle Rock.
On Hulu.
Yeah, it would show up in the Apple app.
Correct.
And if you watched Watchmen, which we discovered, that would show up there too.
Right.
If you watched the World Series, it's going to show up. It kind of customizes itself to what you were watching. I'm assuming that all the other services have something similar.
Right. Pretty much every service. You live mostly in the Apple ecosystem. You have an Apple phone and an Apple computer. I don't have an Apple phone. I live in the Google ecosystem. So I go more to some of those other services. And Roku, for me, is the one that can do all of them, especially now that we have the Apple TV app on there.
And you only sell your privacy, Steve. And
well, that's true, but
let's look at everything that you
let's imagine the cost savings when I sell my soul instead of paying extra for my phone.
What soul do we have, Steve? It's Halloween.
That's fine.
Our soul's going to live forever.
It is a wonderful holiday. Everybody should be celebrating All Souls Day and All Saints Day and All Hallows Eve is Halloween, and I'm excited.
So, Steve, what are you going to dress up? All the students are going to be ready for you at school.
Oh, we didn't talk about this.
No.
I got my costume in the mail yesterday. The art teacher and I are dressing up as the cheerleaders from Saturday Night Live.
Well,
Will Ferrell and Sherry O'Terry.
Oh, excellent. You're going to be a Spartan. You're going to do a Spartan cheer?
I have my Spartan outfit ready to go. I have to learn the cheers for Thursday for Halloween.
Tacos, burritos. What's coming at your speedo? Tiny bubbles.
Maybe I should just give it to you. Maybe you should go teach on Thursday.
Oh, I know.
You know all these things, even though you've never watched Saturday Night Live.
Of course. My kids know me for doing these cheers for them.
Wonderful. What are you dressing up as anything for on Thursday?
Steve, a red shirt, of course. I mean, why wouldn't I? I'm an officer. And why wouldn't I wear my shirt?
That's awesome. Now,
my brother is going to be a red shirt, and so I'll be a red shirt, too. So we can be, you know. We're
not going to survive.
We may not survive, Steve.
We're going to survive the away mission.
I'll tell you, when you're in a ship and they send all the command down to the planet, I mean, why not?
Genius.
With a couple of people who, I guess, could be in the command unit.
The pawns that can be eliminated.
You could come back, Steve. Maybe you come back.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another away mission. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week,
see.
Steve.
We'll see. You're wearing a red shirt. Anything could happen. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Ghoulish Chip Hessenflow. Maniacal laugh. Maniacal laugh.
We'll see you in the future.
Good night, Frau Blücher.